Hello and welcome to the second episode, number two, of the Brothers Movie Factory. I'm your host, Ben, with me as always, the brother of the Brothers Podcast.
Gus,
the brother of the Brothers Podcast. Brothers?
Brothers?
Brothers. Brothers.
Brothers.
All right. So, we are very much the Brothers Movie Factory. We are a podcast of the movies, for the movies, by the movies.
We are the movies.
We are the movies. Just to give you a quick rundown, if you are new to our podcast, this being the second episode, and that we look at a film, an older film, not a new film, usually, you'd say older, yeah? First one was 1993.
Usually we do an older film, yeah, episode two.
Episode two, usually, that's our plan. We'll go through that.
Yes.
But, yeah, we'll take an older film, we'll review it, look at the pros and cons of said film, give it a watch, give it a no-go, and then we'll get into some fun little games where we'll recast the film or we'll make our own personal film of those characters. And
we
things
factory
like that,
that
yeah,
bitch.
Yeah, we make a movie factory. So we will be going into that today, but before we get started, I want to go over a certain couple of things, some... selfless promotion.
Give it.
If you like what you hear here on our pod, you can find us always on whatever you're listening to us on now, or you can find us on Spotify, Audioboom, Stitcher Radio, and Google Play. Or you can also find us on social media at The Bros Movie Pod. That's at The Bros Movie Pod. We are always going to be aiming for Friday of every week to be putting out a new podcast, new episodes, and we're decently active on our Twitter and letting everyone know when our episodes will be posted and what we're going to be reviewing for that particular episode. So without further ado, and before we really get into the meat of the show, the review, anything new with you in terms of the movie world, anything you watched this week or anything like that?
Well, hey, we, last week we posted our first episode, episode one.
Yeah.
We did the Super Mario Brothers movie, or Super Mario Brothers the movie, to the layperson.
1993 Mario Brothers, yes.
Yes, as we sit, had a sweet amount of listens.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Thank you all, you spit listeners out there.
Yeah, spit listeners.
We'll spit in your ears a little bit more this week. So stay moist, my friends.
That's the tagline. We'll get rid of the movies, for the movies, by the movies. Make stay moist, my friends.
Yes. And as far as my cinema watching went this week, didn't watch any films. Watch a lot of anime this week.
Yeah, anime.
Me personally, but last movie I watched was Super Mario Brothers the movie.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
That.
Well, that's not true because we watched a film tonight.
Yeah, it's true. We did. I find it. I always struggle when I find a new show. I've been watching, like I was telling you earlier, I've been watching the new show on Netflix, Disenchantment, made by the creator of The Simpsons. It's been getting okay reviews, I would say, from what I've been seeing. I enjoyed it overall. It kind of gave me a dose of nostalgia in the sense of I'm a big Simpsons fan, but I'm also a very humongous Family Guy fan, which I touched on last episode. And that has a lot of a different type of humor, we'll put it that way. So The Simpsons is not as, I guess, my style. But this humor in this show was very on par of that of Futurama, and I found it really enjoyable. Movie-wise, though, I watched Infinity War. It took me like 10 days to watch it
some
straight
Avengers
through.
Some Avengers action.
Yeah, some Avengers Infinity War. Yes, third time I've seen that movie.
Hey, that's the charm, they say.
Yeah. So, I watched that. I told you I started Doom today for some godforsaken reason.
Why?
I was thinking about the we talked about Doom last week on the podcast when we were talking about Mario Brothers.
Got you thinking.
I did. I was like, maybe that movie is as bad as I remember.
You're the one who said it's not that bad.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to watch it again and see if maybe it was the old Dwayne the Rock before he was super big. Before he was like the most highest paid actor in Hollywood and all that junk.
Was that the wake of his cinema career? There?
Was that before or after the rundown and what was his first movie? Was his first
the Scorpion King?
Scorpion King, yeah, that would be. And then he was in Get Cool pretty early on. Be Cool,
Be
not
cool.
Get Cool. Get Smart, Be Cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was in Be
Stay
Cool.
Stay moist, my friend. Yeah. technically he was in The Mummy Returns.
Yeah,
like a CGI.
That was terrible. Yeah, you could say he was like King. Look like fucking Play-Doh.
I'm pretty sure his first film was The Scorpion King.
That movie's good. That movie's it's enjoyable.
It's a good old fun.
It's enjoyable. Yeah,
fun time.
Yeah. I wouldn't say good. Good's a
as we
good's
would
a strong
say
word.
A good old popcorn flick.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah.
And then he did a lot of smaller roles. Doom. When did Doom come out? 2003.
Yeah.
We'll go with that.
I think so. I think that's what I saw on Netflix today.
15 years ago. Fuck.
Yeah, I know. Think about that. I was watching that, and I was like, I was getting ready to eat, and the very beginning of the film opens up, and people are running scared, and there's a doctor, and he's opening up these sliding doors, and there's a lady behind him kind of trailing. She's like, please, doctor, please. And she puts her arm through the door, and her arm proceeds to be chopped off by the door shutting. And I was like, I don't want to eat my sandwich to this movie.
No.
Nah.
As we were watching the film we're about to discuss here tonight, I realized this came out in 1998, and I was like, 20 years. Fuck.
Yeah, I know. And then you said something like, I don't know if you remember when this came out, but it was a really big deal. I'm like, I was only three or two. I was young.
Yeah.
I was young and then.
I was 7 or 8, and maybe it wasn't that big of a deal. It was to me when I was in first grade. I remember that very well.
I mean, yeah, it was. I seem to remember this film being a big deal.
And, you know, let me dip right into this here. Dip.
Okay. I don't think you're gonna get that sound going.
I was trying. Okay. So last week, Ben here, he picked Super Mario Brothers the movie. He threw the reins to me. He said, what movie are we watching next week? So I had to pick. And I was thinking. And I don't know why, but I chose Godzilla,
yes.
1998.
Which is the American version.
Yes, Matthew Broderick, Godzilla. And, you know, I don't think it's going to be the trend that we do what is seen as a bad movie as
yeah,
I do the
yeah.
the quotation
yeah.
sign.
Because I was giving like some suggestions before we started watching this film tonight, and you were like, oh, we can't watch that movie. That's a good movie. I'm like, I don't think we'll be doing all bad movies. We'll
yeah,
do different.
Who says there has to be rules?
Yeah.
I guess. You
it's
know?
We're just a movie factory.
Yeah.
We could take a fucking 10 out of 10 movie and remake it the way that we want to see it to make it an 11 out of 10 movie.
That's right. So I chose Godzilla, 1998 Godzilla. So from there, we sat down, made a meal based on the film. I made some nice fish meal.
Yep.
Because there's a one of my favorite lines from the movie. That's a lot of fish.
For whatever reason.
Yeah, I don't know. For whatever reason.
You were quoting a lot of this film.
I have a lot of it memorized. Why? I do not know. Yeah. But
it was a big deal when it came out.
Hey, when it came out, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
When I was in first grade, this was my shit. And, you know, a lot of people, there's a lot of hate for Godzilla. And it, to me, is unwarranted. We watched it tonight, and after it was over, I was like, I enjoyed that.
That was the first thing you said.
Heavily.
Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, it's usually amongst the diehards. The diehard Godzilla fans, they hate Godzilla.
But you yourself are a diehard,
I am a
diehard would say. You own
fan.
Every Godzilla film.
Indeed.
You've seen every Godzilla film.
For sure.
And through and osmosis isn't the proper term, but through me being – by you getting that bleeding effect – that's an Assassin's Creed reference – but getting that bleeding effect from you watching something and me just growing up around you, I got that Godzilla experience as well.
Yes. And, you know, I love every Godzilla movie to a degree, and this falls into that category.
Even Godzilla's Revenge –
Hey, Godzilla's Revenge. That might end up being an episode one of these here days. Godzilla's Revenge is a shit
It's
film.
pretty bad.
It's one of the worst films I've ever seen in my life. For you who don't
Highly
know,
recommend.
yes, at least once. For those of you who don't know, they basically took stock footage of old Godzilla movies, okay, and they created a narrative around said stock footage and pretended it was its own story.
Yes. It was all
Poop.
happening inside a little boy's head.
Yes,
His imagination.
garbage. It was made in the 70s, and it was because the studio didn't have a lot of fucking money for some reason, and they're like, let's put out another one.
But let's get into that, just going off that kind of segueing in with the money and everything. This movie had a relatively large budget for the time. It had a budget of $125 million.
Did you do some
I
research?
did some research, yeah. This is my jotting down notes during the opening credits and the end credits. But
There you go.
$125 million on the budget there, and then the box office it made 379 total. So it was a success.
Oh yeah, that's big money, especially for 1998.
Yeah, but if you're going to like a Metacritic or Rotten Tomatoes or anything like that, it's getting about a 17%. I think it's Metacritic is around a 16% or 13%.
I think IMDb was giving it like a 5 point something
Yeah,
or other.
so it's, I don't know, like they kind of the end of this film leaves it open for a sequel. So I'm surprised because it wasn't a flop. And nowadays that does not stop films, especially any of these kid movies. Like they release a Romeo and Juliet and it could literally be shit, but if it has brings in what it brought in well over $200 million to the studio, it would get a sequel. And that's what this movie did for the time being. So it's surprising that it didn't get a
It
sequel.
got a animated series
True.
spin-off.
It lasted 38 episodes. I
Is that
actually,
it?
yeah, I rewatched the opening to that animated series because I remember watching that at our grandmother's house
Oh.
growing up. But I rewatched the opening sequence of that and remembered the music almost immediately. But I also looked into the synopsis of that show and it was just terrible.
Was
But
it smut?
yeah, it was. But the film itself, it's kind of a long one, and that's just in reference. It's 2 hours and 19 minutes long.
Holy shit.
That's a decently long movie for any movie.
That is enough.
Yeah, enough Godzilla at that point. I mean, this well, our newest American Godzilla, the Gareth Edwards one.
Okay,
That
2014.
one's, I think, longer.
Oh,
It's
I don't
got to
know.
be about 2 hours long.
We'd have to look that up, but however, we don't touch our phones. We don't
True.
touch our phones during our little podcast.
Off the
We
tops of our heads,
yeah, off the
or
tops
the
of our
research we
noodles.
do
Yeah, that's a rule.
pre-pod.
Why is the rule? Fuck it, I don't know.
Yeah, we got to show our noggins off a little
Yes.
bit here.
However, so I will say this: 2 hours and 20 minutes, for this movie, I was not once bored.
Yeah,
It goes.
It's got action consistently
Yeah, as
throughout.
action. Action has pretty decent characters. They're pretty memorable. They all have their character development moments. They all have their moments in general. And I don't know what where the hate is. I mean,
Other than the female protagonist
oh
being just a bad person.
yeah. Well, you got your female protagonist you're supposed to care about. She's kind of shit.
Yeah, she's a bad person
Yeah,
throughout the movie.
and
Lying, cheating,
the actress
bitch.
herself, her performance is, as we would say in cultured society,
Cultured society.
not good. But so there's
Even
this and that, but what were you gonna
I
say?
was gonna say, just on that performance note, like I watch it, I grew up with it.
Yes.
Like Matthew Broderick, I like him in it, but it's almost the tone of his acting doesn't match up. Now he in the movie Matthew Broderick, he's the main character, Matthew Broderick of Ferris Bueller's Day Off fame,
of Inspector Gadget
Inspector
fame.
Gadget, the producers, Tony Award winning actor. He's just very animated. He's a doctor that studies radioactive materials and bomb sites and things like that, looking at the species and seeing if they're developing in a new way or something like that. He looks at worms specifically at the beginning of the film in Chernobyl. So he's supposed to be goofy, I guess, but just tonally with the movie, I feel like a lot of times he just does not match up the way he acts. It's almost very silly and naive in comparison to the situations around him.
It's Totopoulos.
Totopoulos, yes, that's his name. And speaking of that, did you know this? This is a little nugget of information I found out. I don't know his first name, but his last name.
Nico.
No, not that character. But the main character's name is Nico Totopoulos. The guy who created the concept art for this Godzilla, this design of Godzilla, the lizard design, his last name was Totopoulos. So I wonder
what came first, chicken or the egg, the art design or the writing?
I'm not sure.
Well, doesn't matter.
Yeah, I guess. But as you were.
Well, okay. So a lot of hate I know comes from the diehards. However, a lot of hate comes from just people in general. As in, we were watching. I'm a diehard. I've also said I enjoyed this film. The CGI in this movie does not hold up one lick of a bit. Now, granted, this is early days of CGI, and this might have been one of the earlier full CGI creatures that are seen prominently throughout. Okay, so even 5 years prior, in like Jurassic Park, for example, you had CGI dinosaurs. Yes. Not seen as much as you'd think. This, the Godzilla and the Godzilla babies, who are seen later in the film, prominently shown, and it is very noticeable that this CGI sucks.
It is aged. It is aged very, very much. That's probably, if you had to nitpick something within the film, I would say that's one of the biggest things you can nitpick. It doesn't age well.
Yeah.
It doesn't age well. You look at it, it's one of those things I've noticed with films. If the CGI is bad, it's almost hard to look at.
Yes.
Like you said, it takes you out of it. So you see it, and you're like, well, that's obviously not real. Mm-hmm. Even if you're watching like a Jurassic World, and everything is CGI, all the dinosaurs are CGI, they look good enough. They look good enough for you to say, okay, I can suspend my disbelief. But in this movie, the CGI just aged to the point where it just does not look good. At the time, I mean, like I said, I was young, but looking back at that film and memories that I have, I don't remember having ever an issue with it.
I don't either. I don't remember being like, this looks really bad.
Yeah.
You know? I might.
And we're spoiled now.
Yeah, yeah, this is true. So, like, I'm also a lot older. This came out 20 years ago, so it's kind of hard to remember exactly what I remember seeing back then. I do remember specific times watching this film when I was younger, and never once was like, this looks fake or this looks really bad ever crossed my mind, because that was probably one of the earliest times I had seen a CGI creature in a film. I mean, I had seen Jurassic Park and other things like that prior, but this was, like I said, very prominently shown throughout the film, CGI creature. And, I remember being very young, and when this movie came out, being a big deal, at least for me in my life. A lot of swag, a lot of toys. I immersed myself in
Godzilla.
That's
the 90s.
That's 90s for you.
But also with that, different things, like in comparison to today and today's Godzillas that we have, like the Americanized Godzilla, there's a Godzilla animated series on Netflix. That's a two-parter as of right now. I think it's about to be a three-part. I think Netflix signed a deal for that one to be a three-parter. Shin Godzilla over in Japan and all the iterations that came after this, movie, the tagline of the film was "Size does matter," and in reference to all the other Godzillas, this wasn't the biggest. It wasn't the smallest. I thought it was the smallest going in, but it wasn't. It wasn't the smallest, but it also wasn't the biggest. So the tagline, I guess, fits in a sense. But
yeah.
It also, just moving on from that, it was a completely different design
yes.
than any other Godzilla ever. I mean, if you look at any Godzilla film, including the new ones, the Gareth Edwards ones, the one that's coming out later this year, correct? Godzilla King of the Monsters.
Next year.
2019. Mm-hmm. He's bipedal. He stands on 2 feet. He just always walking. He never crawls. Atomic breath. He can breathe fire, yes. So to speak. And has big like
big dick.
Yeah, big dick on him. Big testicles and dick. But
there was one moment we're watching Godzilla here in 1998 with Matthew Broderick. The Godzilla is eating all this fish, and Ben's like, "Wouldn't this movie be so much better if you just had a big dick?"
Just dick and balls. This is
a huge
swagging
dick
around.
And balls, just like randomly. I was like,
probably not.
I was gonna be like, probably,
maybe.
Why not?
Yeah. It's just a completely different design. This Godzilla in this film is just so much more. It's a bit more of a lizard. Which they do set up in the very beginning, with basically the beginning of the movie, they show a bunch of lizards and Komodo dragons and iguanas and things like that, and then they show nuclear testing happening on these islands where these lizards are. So you kind of get the feel that these lizards evolve and they're exposed to this radiation and it causes them to change and mutate
or fuse,
which leads to. The Zilla, which is he's been come to be known as, but this iteration of Godzilla. And what's interesting is originally Sony Pictures wanted a Godzilla more like the Japanese version. Roland Emmerich, who's the director of this film, he wanted it to be fast moving, be able to kind of move around the city quicker, not just kind of be walking, because he wanted to do different things with his story, something that had never been done in a Godzilla film before. So he was originally shown a very standard Godzilla picture, and that Totopoulos, who I talked about earlier, who came up with the design, was presented him this lizard version, and he loved it. Roland Emmerich was quoted saying that he felt that the old-school Godzilla look, it didn't make sense. He felt like the fact that it was a slow-moving beast, it would be an easy target. Now, that's not what you generally want to hear from a director that's about to take over a property, because, I mean, in all the other Godzilla movies, I'll let you handle it, but what's the reason why he can be slow and slow-moving but very powerful? What's the reason, you know, he can take all this damage?
Yeah, I mean, originally Godzilla is more of like a metaphor of like the consequences of what humans have done.
Yeah, because he was created by a nuclear
bomb, nuclear testing, and it was just like the metals of man and what that has caused and what that has wreaked havoc on the world, and that's kind of what Godzilla is as a representation. It is death. It is an abomination. It is destruction. It is your future if you're not careful, and it is a scary thing. And even the original design of the original Godzilla from 1954, as odd as it sounds, it is a giant dinosaur lizard, correct? Yes, but its face and its design is actually supposed to look like a mushroom cloud.
I didn't know. Yes. Yeah.
And so that is another reason why a lot of people hate on 1998 Godzilla, is because when they watch this, they're like, what the fuck is this? This is not my Godzilla.
Yeah.
This looks like nothing that I want. The story itself is very untraditional Godzilla. Just the overall feel is not Godzilla. And that's why people hate this film. I should hate this film. I don't, though, you know? There are... Godzilla films are famous for Godzilla versus. Godzilla versus so-and-so, you know? There are a few where it's like Godzilla versus the military. Okay? The original being a Godzilla versus the military. Now, that movie is almost perfect, all right? It's phenomenal. There are other Godzilla versus military movies. I was watching this one tonight, and this is going to be an unpopular opinion, but I was like, this is Other than the original, for me, my favorite Godzilla versus the military movie. Godzilla, this Iguanazilla, is not fighting any other monster. But like, I'm
I
trying
was
to
gonna
think.
say, like, what about like which one is that with where the military creates Mecha Godzilla and they freeze him at the
That's
end?
different.
Yeah, because he's
That's
facing a
Godzilla
giant.
versus
Yeah, he's
Mechagodzilla.
facing a
But you're,
giant. Okay,
I see
yeah,
where you're
he's
coming
facing the
from.
military
I
technically.
see where you're coming
Yeah,
from.
yeah.
Yes. No, I'm
You're
talking
saying
like,
just man versus beast.
I'm talking like Godzilla. I'm trying to think of them off the top of my head. Okay, got Godzilla or Gojira or Godzilla King of the Monsters. That's from 1954. Pardon me, I got a burp. But,
Oh, that's nice. Good
Okay, good
podcasting. Yeah.
podcasting. He got Godzilla 1985,
Yeah.
where he fights military, or Super X, which is like a military created plane. I'm not too big on that one. And then Godzilla, I was going to say Godzilla 2000, but however, he does fight Orga, a
Yeah,
creature
from outer space. The
from
outer
out from
space ass.
space,
Asteroid.
or
The outer space ass.
and
Asteroid.
then Godzilla, Shin Godzilla. So
Yeah.
yeah, Shin Godzilla came out in 2015.
As
Yes.
a response to the Gareth Edwards, yeah,
Yes, and
which they've done both times. They this
man,
1998 came out, and then they made Godzilla 2000, and then
I don't know what it is. I just find when he fights the military, I find it so fucking boring.
yeah.
This one I didn't. And a big part of it is the characters. In Shin Godzilla, which is the most recent iteration, the Godzilla stuff is fucking awesome. When it's the human stuff, it's so boring and you don't, there's no character development. There's no characters. It's just people talking
Yeah.
and trying to figure out how they're going to handle this monster. And then they have the military sick on Godzilla and Godzilla wrecks them. Like, the Godzilla stuff's great. Godzilla 1985, same deal. Like, I don't care about any of the characters. It's just the Godzilla stuff you're interested in. This one, it's almost the opposite. Like, for me personally, I cared about the characters, and I found them fun and interesting, I guess. I don't know if fun's the right word.
Yeah.
I found a lot of enjoyment in this movie, so I guess I did have
Yeah,
fun.
yeah. Well, what's interesting too, you said in that little spiel there that originally Godzilla was a metaphor, right, for nuclear testing and nuclear bombs.
Yane.
And really, in the Japanese versions, it was caused by the American atomic bombs.
Yane.
In this film, what I found was interesting is we excuse ourselves from any blame very quickly. It's all based on the Zilla was created by the French testing nuclear bombs on French Polynesia and the Polynesian islands. And there is a little undercut. Jean Reno of he's an actor, a French actor,
He's
one of the best. Leon the Professional.
the French guy from Godzilla,
Yeah,
right?
French guy from Godzilla.
That's what he's known as.
He's in the Pink Panther and Pink Panther 2, the Steve Martin versions.
Yes.
He's great. He really is a great actor. But he's in this film. He plays a Secret Service agent from France. And they're trying to kind of cover up this Godzilla incident because they were the cause. The French were the cause for Godzilla. So it really kind of supersedes and pushes away
Yeah.
any blame on the United States for this version of the film, which I thought was kind of interesting. Just an interesting take. I mean, the film
America.
does some things and it has some dialogue that you're like, wouldn't work today.
No, it's de this film is definitely a product of its time.
Yeah. Like even right away, the main female protagonist is a news anchor, and she's trying to, or not a news anchor, she's trying to become a news anchor, and she is the assistant to one of the most prominent news anchors in Hollywood. And he's like, "Tell you what, we'll talk about the promotion if you come over. Or we have dinner your place tonight." And she's like, "Well, Mr. So and So, you're married." And he's like, "And you're beautiful." I'm like, "Ah, this is the Me Too movement. Like this is sexual harassment. This is not good in this film." Yeah. So there is, it is a product of your its time, as you said. But I thought that was interesting as I was watching it, just kind of seeing that they kind of are like, "No, let's not make America the reason that this is monster is
Right.
attacking us."
Let me ask you two questions. They're kind of big questions. What did you like about this movie? What did you not like about this movie? Start with my first question, will
Okay.
you?
Yeah. So I think in terms of the film and what the story was trying to say and everything, I think the director was the right choice. Roland Emmerich was the director of this film. He had directed things like Independence Day. He's known for disaster movies.
Yes.
2012 is a more recent film.
Yeah.
That you might know
he
of.
He did. What? It just left me. Day After Tomorrow.
Day After Tomorrow. Yeah. Which is another. That's one we should do sometime because that's a movie that's just kind of in my head sometimes. Think about it. Anytime there's a big snowstorm.
It has
I'm like,
Dennis Quaid in it. That's your favorite actor of all times.
I hate Dennis Quaid. Anyways, so I thought the director was actually a good choice for the time. He's known for disaster movies. Why don't you give him one of the biggest, probably the biggest disaster monster of all time? I mean, you could argue like King Kong is a big disaster monster, but at the same time, he never does as much damage to a city. In any King Kong movie, he never does as much damage to a city than Godzilla has
no
done.
No one fucks like Godzilla.
Yeah. He's the king of the monsters.
Yes.
So I think the director was a good choice. I like that. The music was good for this film, for it being all original.
You get a nickel for who composed it.
I don't remember. I remember when it was scrolling, I almost wrote it down.
Ah.
And I forgot. Do you know who it is? All right. Hit me with
David
it.
David Arnold.
What other movies he do?
He did a lot of James Bond films.
Oh, really? That's why you know. That's yeah. Gus knows two movie series better than anything, I would say. It's two you think. He knows Godzilla, and he knows James Bond real fucking well.
I believe David Arnold came in during Tomorrow Never Dies in 1997. He did that. He did World Is Not Enough. He did Die Another Day, and he did Casino Royale.
This is unnecessary. Why do you know that? All that 007 Scene It we played growing up.
Hey, I saw his name. I was like, this music's going to be good.
Yeah, but the music was good. It really was. For it all being original, and I say that because like the original Godzilla theme that you know, like I know, and it's like if I hear it, I know something big's about to happen. That you, yeah, Smojo's theme for you WWE listeners, his old theme. Yeah, it's just I wish that theme was in it, the Godzilla theme, the original. But the music was good. I'll give it to him, and like the sounds and his roar was good. And there were also good action scenes throughout, like the helicopter chase when they're chasing him through the city and trying to find him, and he's just destroying them. And right up to the end taxi chase where they're trying to get out of the city and they're in a taxi and Godzilla's chasing them, and it's very Jurassic Park-esque. At the end of the film, they find a nest in Madison Square Garden, and all these small Zillas are hatching. They're almost like the raptors from Jurassic Park, and they're everywhere, over 200 of them, and they're attacking him. And I actually found myself feeling suspense.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a great action scene there.
Yeah, because there's what? I'm trying to think. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's 8 people in the garden. 4 of them make it out. So I felt suspense throughout the whole scene because you feel very claustrophobic. It's very narrow hallways, and if it's open, there's usually these Godzilla babies around, and they're just so big. I think they say in the film they're over 9 feet tall, just as babies. So there's good scenes. There's good action scenes. There's like Saving Grace moments.
Another good thing, speaking of action scenes, that I noticed upon this viewing, I was a big fan of the sound of this movie. I don't say that often. Like, I like the sound.
Yeah, yeah.
I liked a lot of the sound effects. You made fun of one, and in my head I was like, I like that one.
What sound was it?
Is when they get a lot of fish to lure the Godzilla monster out of the sewers.
Oh, and he starts to, like, burp. And no, you were no, like, no, I no. love that sound.
No. It's when it's coming out of the ground and the road starts to rip.
Oh, yeah. Literally I thought it sounded like jeans. Yeah, jeans ripping. Yeah.
But it's just, like, concrete and tar, like, ripping.
Yeah.
The Godzilla's rising from the ground. It's like... like a ripping of paper or something. Yeah. I was like, I fucking love that. I like a lot of the sound, Godzilla roaring, the stomping, the gun firing, the explosions. It was an exciting movie. And, you know, this is almost a universally hated film, yet here I am sitting here giving it high praise. What did you not like about it?
Well, before I get into that, okay. I just have one more point in terms. I said good action scenes, but it also has, I think, a really good introduction to Godzilla right away.
Ooh, yeah.
So the movie starts, there's a fishing boat, and they start to see something big coming in on the radar, and all of a sudden there's just teeth, or it's not, I guess it's not teeth, it's like claws, jammed through the boat, and the boat starts to sink, and then another boat later on, just a few minutes later down on the road, another boat gets pulled under and sank because of
teased.
Yeah, yes. Like you're getting, like, you're not seeing the monster, but it's almost Jaws-esque. Yeah, like the ending chase scene from Godzilla and the Madison Square Garden scene are very Jurassic Park, like nuances almost. And then these starting parts are almost like Jaws. You don't see the monster, but you know he's there, and you want to see him. And it gives you that anticipation. And when you finally do see him and he arrives in New York and the mayor's about to give a speech and he comes around the corner and everyone starts running and it's raining and he's stomping on everything. It's a good intro to Godzilla in this film. You think about the Gareth Edwards version of the film. You don't see Godzilla until what? An hour and 30 minutes, hour 40 minutes into the film?
Maybe.
Yeah, it's like late. He's in the movie for 30 so minutes, maybe less total.
I think he's in
less screen
a total
time.
Of 10 or 13 minutes.
Yeah. So it's like you get 14 more. For this being a Godzilla film, in comparison to other Godzilla films, be it a Japanese version or an American version, you get a lot of Godzilla in this movie. I was actually surprised upon rewatching this film how early we actually see Godzilla, and he makes his appearance in the city. Now, like I said, it is a 2 hour and 19 minute long film. That's including credits, but still, it's a long movie. I like that, though. He has a great character intro. So you said bad things are things I did not like about this film. I don't know. It rains, and you noticed it too. It rains through the entire film. It is so it's rainy in the film to the point where you feel like you should be wearing a rain jacket through the film. Like it's very wet.
Is that a good
very
thing
moist.
Or a bad thing though?
Like, see, I don't know. It's a tone. They set the tone. It's like rainy and wet and whatnot.
You just told me a compliment though. Like, yeah, it's raining, but. And it, to the point where you feel like you should wear a raincoat, you are immersed in that movie.
They're setting the tone. Yeah, I just, I don't know.
Give it to me. Retract your statement.
That's what we should start betting things on this. Like, I bet you my Kylo Ren Funko Pop. Like,
whoa.
Start betting our Funkos. Yes. But I don't know. I just feel like if there was a break in the rain, there is not a singular break in the rain throughout the film other than the beginning where they're not in New York. As soon as they get to New York, which they don't call New York in the film, they call it the city that never sleeps at the beginning. But up until that point, it's just so rainy through the entire film, and it never lets up. Even at the end, when spoilers, they kill Godzilla, it doesn't let up. Like, I thought maybe, like, oh, dawn of a new day, like, light everything up, it stops raining. You know, Forrest Gump, like, one day it just stopped. Like, it didn't happen. It did
wasn't
not happen.
That day.
Yeah, it just kept raining.
Hey, life keeps raining sometimes.
Yeah. another thing I didn't like about the film, just some of the characters. I mean, I like all the characters, don't get me wrong. But there's characters that one of my biggest complaints with any movie is when you – are meant to care about a character, and you just don't. And the female protagonist of this film, like you said, she doesn't have the best performance, and her character is just not a nice person.
What does she do?
Well, let's think. Like she is a former love interest of the main protagonist, played by Matthew Broderick, and you find out that he was with her for 4 years. He asked her to marry her. She rejected it. And then in the middle of the night, she left him with no phone call, no note, no letter, no nothing. So he just didn't know where she was. And they meet back up, and she just expects everything to be A-OK. Mm-hmm. She forges a reporter pass from her boss so she can sneak in and get a first-hand scoop from the main character. So she can kind of, like, get in cozy with him and learn some details and get her own special report so she can become a reporter. So she steals all these tapes and gets him kicked off the job and all this stuff. And then she just walks up to him. She's like, hey, I'm sorry. Like, that's pretty much it. So she's just not a good person.
I'll say this.
She's a person that does bad things and does not get her comeuppance.
Yes, she does bad things, but you can see through all that she, as a character, she is a very sweet, innocent person. Yes, she is sweet. Alas, she is bitch.
Yeah.
Yes.
Das bitch.
Das bitch, and she doesn't get her comeuppance. Well, she's a villain.
Yeah. She was probably one of my biggest issues. Other than that, I mean, I thought all the acting was good. Like I said, some of it's tonally a little different, I feel. It is funny because I was watching a video on it the other day, and they mentioned that, like, it was. Matthew Broderick and the cast of The Simpsons. And there was the voice of Apu, and you said Mr. Burns, right? He does Mo. He does Mo. And then there was also another actor that does Kent. I just looked it up.
Yeah, Kent Brockway.
Yeah, the news announcer for The Simpsons.
Reverend Lovejoy
and Principal Skinner.
Principal Skinner.
So there are, like, there's popular names. Yes. You know their voices more than you would know their face. But they all do a good job. They fit the role that they were cast in well. We'll put it that way. But moving on to other things that I didn't particularly like. No atomic breath. They do a little nuance in like two scenes that I noticed.
A nuance.
In any other Godzilla movie, he'll be able to, like, breathe some kind of blue fire, blue atomic beam, fire in general. In this film, he just kind of roars really loud, and it can send things with, like, the shockwave. It's not even that bad, though. It's, like, within, 40-foot radius, 50-feet radius, that he's sending things with just the power of his breath or his voice.
And it causes those things, like cars and whatnot, to explode, and that creates fire.
Yeah. So they
nuance
went,
is a good word.
It seems like what Roland Emmerich was going for was a very practical, real Godzilla. He didn't want any fake. So that is kind of a bummer, because you feel that, like,
that's a bummer, man.
Something that's cool about Godzilla. It's, like, original to him. And so moving from that, the last thing that I didn't like about this film, and it might be controversial with you, I wish it wasn't a Godzilla film. I wish it was his own entity.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, see, I knew that would maybe strike a little. But what is your purpose?
Yeah, there is no reason for that movie to exist, then.
Maybe.
What would you call it?
Lizard. Big lizard. I whipped out my lizard.
Big lizard and a French guy.
Big lizard, Little New York. It's the sequel. The sequel to Big Trouble in Little Tokyo, China. Fuck. Fuck that.
Big
up.
Trouble in Little Tokyo.
Shit.
Little shit.
I don't know. It does separate itself from any other Godzilla film. It is. You could say, without a shadow of a doubt, I feel like, and this might also be controversial, hit us up on Twitter if you think this is bull. But you could say that this is the most original Godzilla film there has been since the first one. It's completely different. They change his look. They change his style of movement. They change how he attacks things. Everything. Even his purpose, even Godzilla's purpose, In any other film, it's just either to be, he wants to be the top monster, he's protecting mankind for some reason, he's making sure that nothing's too powerful or out of place, he's defending against nuclear weapons and building nuclear factories and things like that. Anything like that. This Godzilla's sole purpose is to lay babies and prepare for babies and get a nest. That's the whole reason it came to New York, is because it wanted to make a nest. So this is, you could say, one of the, if not definitely the most original Godzilla movie there has ever been, past the first one.
It's a bold statement, Cotton.
It is.
And you convinced me to the point where you're like, it's, you basically just said it's, besides the original, it's the most original Godzilla movie, to the point where it almost isn't a Godzilla movie.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I wish it wasn't a Godzilla film, because think about that. You said early on, it gets a lot of hate. Especially from the people that grew up with Godzilla. They watch this film and they say, that's not my Godzilla. Would it be the same if it wasn't called Godzilla? If it was just called Lizard and a French Guy?
Lizard in the City That Never Sleeps.
Let's name it. It will come up with a different name. Any name. Cloverfield is a monster movie. It's just called Cloverfield. And it spawned a whole franchise. So you could name it anything, really. You could even just name it like New York Monster, something stupid, but it's different than Godzilla. It doesn't have that tagline. Now, would it have as big of a budget without that Godzilla tagline?
No.
Would it make as much money without that big of a tagline?
No.
Exactly. So, you would at that point have to go solely on merit. And this film does not get good reviews. But theoretically, you could make an argument that maybe some of those critics are comparing it to Godzilla films. If that Godzilla film or stigma is removed, not stigma, but if that is removed, is it a better film? Maybe.
Interesting.
I don't know. I'm just a thought.
That's,
if it wasn't a Godzilla film,
chew over.
Would it be different? That's like what I said last week, like the Mario Brothers film. Would it be better if it wasn't a Mario Brothers film?
Yeah, then what the fuck would that thing be?
An abortion, you said. That's what you said last week.
Yeah, this, if I were to name it anything else, I would name it, A Lot of Fish.
A Lot of Fish. Matthew Broderick in A Lot of Fish.
I'd call it Matthew Broderick the movie.
Based on
true story.
As Family Guy would say, Ferris Bueller's Day On. Because he was so on that day.
he was on in this film. Tell you what.
But, yeah, so that's just one of the things. I feel like if it wasn't a Godzilla film, it might be a better film altogether. And that's something that I just didn't like about that that film in general.
Well,
but
going to hell, so.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, we'll see. But what? Anything that I say that you agreed with, disagreed, anything different to add on to? Anything that I didn't say that you liked, anything I didn't say that you disliked about the film?
I don't think
you disliked anything.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to hell.
I was going to say, last week you're like, this movie's shit. This week you're like, this movie is fantastic. Watch it. Buy 5 copies of it. Buy it on VHS. I don't care.
I now own 3 versions of this movie. I triple dipped. I got it on VHS. I got it on DVD. Got it on Blu-ray.
It's on 4K?
If it was,
That Godzilla might look real on 4K.
Where's that laser disc?
Yeah.
I'll take that too, I guess.
In VR.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though, just real quick before you go into that. The thing I noticed, a lot of the shots, we went to Disney and Universal over the summer here, and we rode a lot of those rides that you sit in like a car and there's big 3D screens and it feels like you're in, like everything you're looking at is around you and whatnot. A lot of the shots in this film were like POV shots, and I kind of felt like a ride. Like, did you notice that?
I feel like you were there.
Yeah, did you notice that, though? Like, I think that was done to ramp up the emotion or the suspense of you kind of feeling in peril for the characters, because it's putting you in their shoes, so to speak. But
if you had one word to describe this film, just one, what would it be?
Do you have one in mind? Because that's putting me on the spot just to think about it. But
one word for me to describe this film: masterpiece.
Really? Yeah. One word. It's got a 5 on IMDb, less than the 20% on everything else.
Hey, you know.
So your masterpiece. Shit. No, I like it. I do like it. I feel like I've I talked some bad things on it.
I did too. I shouldn't like this movie. Everything everything about it says to me you shouldn't like it, but I do.
The sign says kitchen, but my heart says jail. That's SpongeBob. That's a good SpongeBob reference. I don't know why I made it there, but
but here we are. Yeah, here no we matter are. Where you're at, there you are. And yep. Here we is.
If I had to describe this film in one word,
would it be Godzilla?
It'd be good.
Question mark?
Yeah. Yeah. Fish? Question mark. if I had to describe this film in one word, it would probably be, I would just say, in terms of like rating it, I would say it's probably like mediocre.
Would you say it's a blast?
That's not one word. If you jam them all together, yeah. It's a blast. Like just one word. It's a blast.
Mediocre.
Mediocre. It's not.
Mediocre.
I don't think it's. I'll say this to defend it. It's nothing special, but it's not terrible. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you think it's really good.
I don't think it's really good. Yeah. I just
you like it. You enjoy it. I do too. I didn't have any issue at all watching it. I could watch it again and enjoy it just as much. No issues. It's a piece of nostalgia.
I'm gonna go watch it right now.
Go watch it again. Yeah. But I don't know. I think that overall, yeah, I would just say it's a mediocre. I would give it a watch. I suggest any of you listening, if you've never seen it, watch it.
I say
good.
Give it a watch, but you say mediocre. Now, what would you do to make it better?
So we're making our own Godzilla movie, correct? Yeah? We're going to factory
bitch.
This film. We're going to go into the movie factory right about now. In this segment of the show, we will come up. We'll take the film. We'll take the film we watch. We'll take its idea, its main characters and things like that. We will create our own story. Create our own story. Cast our own director. Cast our own composer. Cast our head and main characters for this film. And kind of work out our own plot and ideas for in this week's episode, a Godzilla film. So let's get into it. We're taking a Godzilla film. Let's just give an overarching story. What are we doing in the overarching story of this film? You want to do a standard Godzilla piece?
Well, this is a tough one. We are doing Godzilla 1998.
Yes.
The American Godzilla. So, As I trashed on earlier, I think we should, though, make it a Godzilla versus the military kind of movie.
Okay.
Godzilla versus the people.
The people.
It should be a political thriller. But Godzilla versus the people.
That's... We come up with a serum to make us fucking big, and we fight them hand to hand.
My nipples are hard.
We get Conor McGregor to fight Godzilla.
To trash talk him.
We sell it on pay-per-view for hundreds of thousands of dollars.
For hundreds of dollars.
Hundreds of dollars a pop. I think that's how much they would cost in all legitimacy. But, yeah. All right. So you want to do – that's what he's facing. Not facing any other monster. You got the whole catalog of monsters. We're facing the military.
For this one, for Godzilla 1998, yes.
All right. So he's facing the military. So, sorry, excuse me. For this film, if he's facing the military, classic Godzilla look. Is he looking like the lizard? Or is he looking like old school Godzilla? Is he huge, small, tiny, big?
I think he should look like old school Godzilla, except he's taller and his face is different.
Okay.
I don't know.
I think he should be old school Godzilla, but he looks like a dog.
He walks on all fours.
Yeah, he walks on all fours. He is, that. He's Gamera.
He's a big turtle.
He's a big turtle.
Gamera is the other Japanese kaiju
monster
that just run around, destroy cities, save the planet kind of creature. Godzilla was a lizard, a dinosaur, beast majig, and Gamera was a turtle, dinosaur, beast majig.
Yeah. But, all right, so you versus humans, standard Godzilla. I'm fine with standard, just
is
old
that what
school
you want?
classic. I just, when I think Godzilla, that's what I want to see. So anything different than that throws me, and I come up with my own same argument. Would it be better if it wasn't a Godzilla film?
Then let's make it a Godzilla film.
He's been established. This is what he looks like.
Let's make him more standard.
So he's a standard old school look Godzilla, more Toho Company Japanese style Godzilla. Why is he coming ashore? Is he coming to America, or is this Japanese?
This is American. American Godzilla.
You want New York City?
Yeah,
New York City. So he's coming to New York City. Why? Why is he trashing the place? Why is he going from all the way over there in Japan?
Because it's an island
he
can easily hide. that's a line from the movie.
That is. But why is he coming to Japan? Or not
well,
Japan.
He's not.
Coming from Japan to New York City.
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah,
there,
so you'd have
Eric
to figure
Simon.
That out.
Well, in the film we were presented in 1998, he came to New York for reasons.
To lay eggs, yeah.
To lay
the
eggs.
Nest, they said.
It was
the perfect place to nest.
Because it was
nest,
an American-made Godzilla movie. That's really why.
And it was just, in that film, they were like, oh, it's a good place to nest.
Yes, the island of Manhattan.
Yeah.
Why not just keep that?
You want him to nest. The same thing. He's coming to nest, lay eggs.
We are
have babies.
We are recreating this film to be better, but I mean
a little different at the same time.
Yeah, like this kind of film is different with Super Mario last week in episode one when we kind of recreated that story because it was loosely based on the video game itself. This
yes.
is kind of taking Godzilla and making it its own beast, no pun intended. So let's take that thing they made their own, but just
make it more Godzilla-esque.
Slap lipstick on that pig.
All right. So he's coming to New York again to have babies. And so directing the film, modern day directors.
Yes.
Who are you thinking to direct this film? Because if we're doing that way, then right now we have the same exact story. Godzilla's coming to America. He's going to trash the place just because he's looking for food, looking for fish, trying to find a good nest for his babies lay his eggs. But also all the side stories, the reporter and the guy who's studying worms and studying radiation – the military, all that's the same. The same story plot, but we're taking now the original Godzilla, the Japanese-style Godzilla, for this film. So, who are we directing? We get Roland Emmerich again.
Yeah, no. I'd rather have 90s Roland Emmerich than today's Roland Emmerich. he can stay doing whatever the hell he's doing. Do you have anyone in mind?
So for this film, I thought someone who could inject realism to the story, and also just make it tonally really good and flesh out characters. I thought Christopher Nolan, would be able to take this idea, this almost like completely different style of film that he's probably used to. But kind of do a Batman-esque thing to it where, like, he took Batman, a superhero, nothing like he had done before that, prior to that, and made it his own and made it just kind of hyper-realistic, really, really good, probably the best Batman films around. Not even probably the best Batman films around, maybe other than the Mask of the Phantasm.
Deep cuts.
But, yeah, I just think Christopher Nolan – would do a great job, and from that you gather some Christopher Nolan actors and actresses. But we'll get into that. So, any directors from you?
You know, when I knew we were doing Godzilla, I knew this question was going to come, and I was thinking of directors, and Christopher Nolan popped in my head too.
Yep.
He did. I was like, I would like to see his take on that character. I know Christopher Nolan in the past has wanted to do, like, James Bond, right? And so, like, I just take that desire, right? He wants to do James Bond. He's done Batman. He's done serious films. He's done dramatic films. He's done fantastical films. It's not out of his wheelhouse to do a Godzilla movie. And the wonderful thing about him directing a Godzilla movie is he could bring the deeper meaning of Godzilla back to this film. Maybe something that was missing from the American 1998 version was the symbolism of what Godzilla represents, which is deep and adds a lot to just this visual beast we get to see. But what's really important beyond, yes, Godzilla's cool and destruction is fun to watch in those films, the characters. And Christopher Nolan has a masterful handle on character in general.
And also, just going on top of that, something that Christopher Nolan does, and he's proven time and time again with his films, he is a big fan of practical effects. So I feel like it wouldn't be a
Oh,
CGI
this guy's
fest.
gonna be a dude in a suit.
Yeah. Well, not even that. Like, Godzilla could be full CGI. I don't care. But the other things are getting built, and the destruction's gonna be real, and put together on a set, and it's gonna look great because he will make it practical effect. He'll make it real. So I think he I just think Chris Nolan would be a great choice for that.
Pencil it in, guy.
It's in there. What about a composer? If we're going Chris Nolan, I'm just assuming we have Hans Zimmer.
I just thought of that
Yeah.
too. Hans Zimmer.
Hans Zimmer does all the Batman films, Batman Begins, Batman, The Dark Knight, and The Dark Knight Rises, Inception, any Chris Nolan film,
Interstellar.
Interstellar.
But he's done things beyond that. Pirates of the Caribbean, Gladiator, Sherlock
He's
Holmes,
really,
The Lion King, damn it.
I feel somewhat underrated, but not at the same time. Like, anyone who knows movies very well knows Hans Zimmer, but there are people that are like, they know John Williams, they know Danny Elfman, but like Hans Zimmer,
He's up there too.
yeah,
If he's
he's
not up there,
great. Has
he's
he won
certain.
any Oscars?
I think he won for Lion King.
Hmm.
We'd have to look.
Yeah.
But we're not allowed. We're not allowed to
No, not
touch our
allowed.
phones during this podcast. Why? Because we're pilgrims.
Exactly. But all right, so with that being said, then I want to cast a new set of leads.
Okay.
So for this film in particular, we have our main protagonist, played by Matthew Broderick originally, our female protagonist, and she's the news reporter. Then we have our cameraman, and a French Secret
Oh,
Service
shoot.
agent. Those are
Okay.
the three or the four that I want to recast for our version. Everyone else can be the same. Everyone
Yes.
else can be the original 98 cast. But those four I want to change. So who are we getting to be the star of our film? The main character. He's a scientist studying radiation, studying worms, supposed to be a little goofy, also supposed to be smart and resourceful. Who are we getting?
Toby Maguire.
Tobey Maguire. He's up there with like some of my least favorite, and I don't know why. I just don't like his
Well,
face.
Toby Maguire has to be mentioned on every podcast. I say that for those purposes, but for these purposes, despite whatever the hell's going on with him in the public eye and personal life, as far as a performer and actor in this My Godzilla movie, James Franco.
James Franco.
James Franco.
Okay. So you're saying James Franco. So I think for that, I could see that. Give me a rundown of some reasons why.
I hearken back to James Franco's performances in like
Oh, it's the Great and Powerful.
Oscar. I see that goofy smile. I want that in
I
my
know that
film.
face.
I know that face. I see him in Spider-Man. I want Harry Osborn in my Godzilla movie. Actually, he does have just hearkening back to Spider-Man, some of his line delivery and just his presence and his facials, I see that in a scientist. Hey, how about Rise of the Planet of the Apes? He is a fucking scientist in that movie, and he's believable in that role. And I just like his screen presence, like his acting in general. He has like this realism about him, you know what I mean? Like he seems like just like kind of a normal guy, right? He's not like a super buff or like uber handsome gentleman.
Excuse you?
Well, I'd give him a kiss, but that's about it. If James Franco came up to me in the middle of the night and it was raining and he had poop on his lips and
Poop on his lips.
he said, "Will you kiss me?"
Why?
I would kiss him.
Why? Poop on his lips.
I'd still kiss him.
I I to quote Jaws, I got that beat. I got that beat.
Okay.
I think Killian Murphy.
Yeah, I thought of Killian Murphy.
See, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, this is a Chris Nolan film.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. All right, Killian Murphy. He's a lesser-known name, British actor. I believe British, maybe Wales or somewhere. United Kingdom actor, we'll say that. United Kingdom actor. Killian Murphy plays Scarecrow and all the Batman franchise. He is in 28 Days Later. I do not know if he's in 28 Weeks Later.
Yeah, he's 28 Days.
28 Days
he's
Later.
In Peaky Blinders.
Yeah, he's in Peaky Blinders of Netflix. He's a great,
Inception.
Great actor. Yeah, Inception. Great, great actor.
Dunkirk, other Chris Nolan film.
Yeah, he's in almost every Chris Nolan film. He's just he's on that not payroll, but he's just, if Chris Nolan has a film, he knows
he's
the
got
actor.
A job.
Yeah, he has he knows his style and what he wants. So I just think Killian Murphy would do a good job because Killian Murphy, the way he acts, he can be smart, he can be smug, he can be kind of goofy. And you see it in 28 Days Later. Which is a zombie film. He's very very kind of like he's always running and having to think on his feet and have his wits about him and different things like that. But also very at the same time just cool, calm, and collected. So I think he'd be a good choice as well. But I see, Gus, you just picked up a coin. That means we're going to the coin flip on this one.
Hey, we flipped this here coin last week.
And you missed it twice.
I missed it twice, and there it laid on the floor, and it never was picked up. Found it right there.
Yep. All right.
I like both choices.
All right.
I don't care if
I
you
do
don't.
Too. I
okay.
do too.
You like James Franco,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, I do.
I like Killian Murphy too. I can't decide.
Hit it up.
But this coin will.
Coin flip.
Let's
heads,
see if I catch
James
it.
Franco. Tails for Killian Murphy. Better catch it. There it is. What is it?
What's the most you ever lost in a coin toss?
Everything.
Oh. We got Killian Murphy.
We got face. What? Heads or tails? We got
tail.
Foot. Fuck.
Killian Murphy is our lead.
Killian Murphy
he's
our
Nick Tatopoulos.
You know what's sad about that, though, is he's not, I guess, like, not a name that they could post on a poster and be like, come see our movie starring Killian Murphy. Like,
hey, sure he can.
I guess.
Because we got Christopher Nolan directing.
True. Newscaster, female protagonist. Who we getting? She's blonde in the film, so we can change that up though.
Yeah, that doesn't matter because you know why.
Here's why.
Here's why. Let me take you there. I don't know why this whole time. I Jessica Chastain.
You wanted her last week, didn't you? For Peach, I think you did.
No,
you didn't.
No,
you sure?
I said Michelle Williams.
Michelle Williams. Okay.
Yes. No.
Give me
no.
some examples.
For Jessica Chastain, she's in The Help. She's in The Martian. She's in Interstellar Space. I don't know. She's in Zero Dark Thirty. I find her what the 1998 Godzilla lead actress. Her character was Audrey. What I didn't like about her.
She's unlikable.
Was that she was unlikable. She lacked boldness. Jessica Chastain has like I don't know this confidence in her face and in her eyes and in her actions that she brings to her performances. So I see that in like a newscaster kind of character. However, she can bring a relativity to her performance, whereas like you can be like, I relate to that. I see you being a real person, and I kind of like that. And she's been in a Christopher Nolan movie before in Interstellar Space.
Yeah.
So why not?
I'm going to go off of that. I think a good choice for that role would be a Bryce Dallas Howard. And I know that's your girl. I think Bryce Dallas Howard has proven through all her movies, but more recently being in films such as the Jurassic World movies, Jurassic World and then Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, she is very good at being like a successful businesswoman and carrying herself as this success. But also being kind of a badass, but more like I don't know, eloquent about it in a sense. So I feel like she would handle that role well because it's not, for this film, not too far off from what she's doing in the Jurassic World series.
I mean, well, in general, like her career in her M. Night Shyamalan films, like The Village and fucking Lady in the Water, she can
act.
She can act her little socks off. I'm not even going to whip the coin out.
Sold on Bryce Dallas.
Bryce Dallas. Take me, please.
So we got Bryce Dallas Howard. So the last two, we got the cameraman. We have a French guy.
Okay, cameraman animal.
Yeah.
Who is played by Hank Azaria in the 1998 film. I thought it was perfect casting. However, for our purposes, we're recasting, okay? We're making a Chris Nolan movie in today's day and age. You know who I got, and I don't even care.
Tom Hardy ready to fucking hip toss that thing.
Yes, Tom Hardy is Animal, the camera guy. Was that your choice?
No.
Oh, that was mine. And that's it. I don't care.
You don't need to explain Tom Hardy
just,
for
just
me.
Just think for a moment. You spit listeners listening there on your little headphones or riding around in your cars, brother. You just drive around. You think of this, okay? You think Tommy from fucking Warrior. Okay, Tom Hardy's character from Warrior.
Yeah.
But with a camera report.
I was gonna say, he's complete opposite to what that character is, though, in this film.
He kicks a lot of ass.
The character in this film is comic relief. For that reason.
You saying Tom Hardy can't be funny?
I don't know. Can he?
He's never made you laugh.
See, I don't know. For that reason, I feel like for the role of the cameraman, Jonah Hill.
For Grace. Oh.
Jonah Hill.
Oh as a God.
Picture that. Like Jonah Hill.
I'm trying
now
not
picture
to.
Jonah Hill with a camera.
Kicking a lot of ass.
Yeah, picture him in Wolf of Wall Street, dick out, camera on his camera on his shoulder, Godzilla coming at him.
I can't.
we could do
the coin toss.
What about we could do what's his name? Channing Tatum.
Channing Tate, yum.
All right. Well, now, let's hit the coin for this one because we're completely opposite.
Who do you want?
It'll be tails for Jonah Hill, heads for Hardy.
All right. Here we go. This is for the success of your film.
Yeah. Better hope it's Jonah Hill.
Who's more bankable? Okay.
Jonah Hill now.
We got who's who?
Tails was Jonah Hill, heads was Hardy.
Hey, guess what, folks? We got Jonah Hill in our film. Yes.
All right. And so lastly, we're recasting our French Secret Service agent. Who you got?
All right. Throughout history, there's only been one actor who can properly represent the French and in an action movie, and that's Steve Martin.
Holy shit, that's who I have too. I 100%. Oh, first off, I have John Reno because I'm like, let's just not recast it. Just have John Reno do it again.
I was
going to
say him too.
Who plays in the film.
Brothers?
But I literally have John Reno / Steve Martin on my paper.
We are big, I was going to say guilty pleasure, but it's just pleasure.
Nah, yeah.
Pink Panther films in general, but especially the newer ones with Steve Martin and, hey, John Reno.
Yeah, but I would just – honestly, that's a role he fits so perfectly. No need to recast him whatsoever.
Perfect casting.
Yeah, that was what?
I don't know. That's what we'll do every time. It's perfect casting.
I guess
the angels.
But yeah. So if we're looking at this film, we're just taking this regular story, same story. The only thing we're changing to the story is we are changing up the way Godzilla looks. We're making him more traditional Godzilla. We're going to take up Chris Nolan as our director, composer Hans Zimmer. Our main character will be played by Cillian Murphy, our female protagonist, Bryce Dallas Howard, cameraman operator, old Jonah Hill, and then our French guy, our French Secret Service agent, Jean Reno. And it's going to be the same film, just those actors, updated CGI and or practical effects. But yeah, I think that would be a good movie. I think if that came out today, I think it could be a contender against any other Godzilla
Christopher
film.
Nolan movie.
Yeah, Yep. For sure. Do we have anything else
Hey,
from there?
we factored the hell out of
We
that. So
factored the shit out of it, yeah.
we watched Godzilla 1998.
Yeah.
We chewed that over, just gave our thoughts and feels, and the thoughts and feels it gave us.
Yeah.
Okay. And we factored the hell out of it. We made our own movie. And that about does it up there. I do have a fun little game for you.
You have a game.
You gave me a game last week. What do we call that? The
Degree
degree
game.
game? The
Yeah,
degree
it's a
game.
Kevin Bacon degree game, but you do it with any actor or
Okay.
actress.
Last week you cheated.
I
You
didn't.
knew the
Well,
answer
that's because
before we
I
got
gave it
there.
to you, yeah.
Yes. We're gonna do it together this week.
Okay.
This might be a shit show, but we'll figure it out.
Probably.
Hey, it's a shit show anyway.
Yeah.
So here we go. The degree game. Has nothing to do with Godzilla at all. This is the Battle of the Toms. Tom Cruise
Okay.
to Tom Hanks.
Feel like we could do that in like one.
I don't know. Have they done a movie together?
I feel like they have.
I don't think so.
What movie's Tom Cruise done?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, yes, you do.
Oh,
You
yeah.
do too. No, you
He's
know.
done the Mission Impossible series. He's done Rain Man, he's done Top Gun, he's done Risky Business.
And what movie's Tom Hanks done?
He's done Tom Hanks the movie. He
Forrest
he's
Gump.
done Forrest Gump, he's done Philadelphia, he's done the Da Vinci Code, he's done Toy Story, he's done The Burbs, he's done Big, he's done
All right. Let's go from so it was the Tom Hanks is in Philadelphia with Denzel, correct?
Denzel. Was Denzel in Oh no, I'm thinking of a different actor. Never mind.
Denzel's in Tom Cruise. Oh man. So now we got to think about that though, because Tom Cruise, like you said, is in the Mission Impossible series, and that has like Simon Pegg. It's got Alec Baldwin in it. It's got so you could connect from there, but then you could also take Tom Cruise and connect from you said he's in what's the movie Oblivion with Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
So you could do it from there. Tom, I mean Tom Cruise is in a fuck ton of movies.
Says Tom Hanks.
Yeah, it's true. Because then even then you have Gary Sinise who's in a lot. He's in more TV now, but as Lieutenant Dan. Man, you should have looked this up before, so you had the answer.
I'm sitting here like,
Yeah, I know, because I'm thinking about it. I'm like, Tom Hanks is in. I'm trying to talk it out. If we take Tom Hanks in Philadelphia with Denzel Washington is in Taking of Pelham 1-2-3 with John Travolta. How do we connect John Travolta to Tom Hanks or
Why?
Tom Cruise?
Why are you doing
I
this?
don't know. That was the first ones that were popping in my head, so I was just trying to do it really fast.
What about what if you take a like I just had one.
Well, we're at Denzel now.
Okay.
If we have Denzel, can we go Denzel to Tom Cruise?
I don't know if you can off the top of my head.
Can we go Denzel to Russell Crowe? Because if we can, we got it. Because they're in The Mummy together. Russell Crowe and not
Yeah,
Denzel,
they
but
are in Tom
Tom Cruise.
Cruise. To Russell Crowe.
Book Eli with me to Lacunas.
We got
Yep, see? See?
see
This
what
is why you look
you
up
did?
beforehand.
Yeah. Well,
If
you
you're
know,
giving it to one person.
I thought of Tom's. I was like, we could figure it out.
I thought you were going to be like
What
Battle of the
about
Toms, Tom Hiddleston and Tom Hardy.
what
Like, what?
about what about Tom Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible 3, and hey, there's Philip Seymour Hoffman sitting there.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything reach out from Philip,
Not in
old
my head.
Phil?
I haven't seen a lot of Philip Seymour Hoffman movies other than like what's that? Compote.
Capote.
Compote.
Philip Seymour Hoffman, he's in Red Dragon with Ralph Fiennes. He's in The Big Lebowski with Jeff Bridges man, John Goodman, Steve Buscemi. A lot of names out there. Julianne Moore.
Halle Berry. Can we connect Halle Berry to Tom Cruise in any way, shape, or form? Oh,
What?
I got it. 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 All right. Tom Hanks is in Cloud Atlas with Halle Berry.
Whoa.
Halle Berry is in Swordfish with John Travolta.
John Travolta.
And I lost it there because John Travolta, that's connecting Tom Hanks back to John Travolta.
Oh.
Fuck.
What was your John Travolta connection?
It was Denzel Washington taking Pelham 123, Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck. Damn it. Thought I had it from Halle Berry.
I thought you had it from, what was Halle Berry in anything with,
Tom Cruise?
With Morgan Freeman.
No.
That you can think of.
She's with James Bond with Daniel Craig.
Oh, wait.
Or not. No, Pierce Brosnan.
Wait. No. Wait. Okay. Hold on. Yes. I got it.
All right. Hit it up.
Success. Okay. Here we go. And you helped me. So we did this together.
Brothers.
Tom Cruise is in Mission Impossible 3. With, I almost said Capote. Philip Seymour Hoffman. Philip Seymour Hoffman is in The Big Lebowski with John Goodman.
Mm.
John Goodman is in The Flintstones with Halle Berry.
Ah, yeah, Halle Berry, yeah. Viva Las Vegas, yeah.
No.
Not Viva Las Vegas?
The original.
Oh, shit.
Yes, the original. And Halle Berry's in Cloud Atlas with Tom Hanks.
Hey. There's a bridge.
Found it.
It's a 4-movie bridge.
Took two brothers and a brain to figure it out.
And one whole brain. Well, that's going to do it for the Brothers Podcast, the Brothers Movie Factory. If you liked what you heard from us here on the pod, be sure to follow us over on Twitter. We are at the Brothers Movie Pod, or I'm sorry, the Bros Movie Pod.
I thought it was the Bros Movie Factory.
No, at the Bros Movie Pod.
Who are we?
Yeah.
Or say it once more.
At the Bros Movie Pod on Twitter. Also, whatever you're listening to works for you, that's good, but we want to let you know there's other options. You can listen to us on Spotify, Audioboom, Stitcher Radio, and Google Play. So please leave us any feedback you have. Give us ideas for movies. Next week's my pick. I haven't thought about it yet, but we're going to be discussing some movie next week. That is for sure.
We'll splat that on the old Twitter for you.
Yep.
If you want to listen.
We'll let you know. So stay tuned. We'll be dropping. Usually we try to record on Wednesday, so we'll aim to get the episodes out on a Friday. So, until next time, I'm Ben.
I'm Gus.
And that's a wrap.
Brothers.
Brothers.
Brothers.